with me one more time. Prayer, Heavenly Father. Lord, it's so wonderful, Lord, to come into assembly and feel your presence, Lord. Lord, knowing, Lord, that when your presence comes down as the hearts become open, Lord. Lord Jesus, I ask, God, that you will anoint me this morning, Lord, that you may be able to come speak to the people. Lord Jesus, bless them, I pray, this morning. Encourage them, uplift them, dear God, this morning. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And he saw them, and he said unto them, Go ye yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said to him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. You may be seated. I'd like to speak on this morning. If I give it a title, it would be, And Then There Was One. And There Was One. And There Was One. I just was thinking on this scripture concerning there was only one that came back and worshiped him. There was others that were touched. There was others that were healed. But there was only one that it had significant meaning to. And as I thought on that scripture, I began to think of all the different groups, denominations, organizations, and things that the prophet spoke among. I began to think of all the different people that would come to his meetings. They came from Brother Branham many times said, you know, we're trying to draw those from all the different organizations. And then he says, we're not affiliated with anyone. We're just trying to bring everybody together. And I thought about how many there was that came and how many were touched, how many were healed, how many that actually received the benefits of the power of God that was being manifest at that time through his prophet. And I thought, but how many that were that were healed or blessed during that time that actually caught the revelation of why he was sent, that actually caught the revelation of the word. And I also thought, you know, that what's took place since then, and I see, you know, as I look around, I see there is how that they pour money, the organization, into building their buildings bigger. I've watched, you know, the Church of Christ here building their buildings bigger. The Baptists, you know, we were down in Centerville a week or so ago, and, you know, a little old town like Centerville, and here they had this gigantic church down there, you know, and I believe it was a Church of Christ, as I made mention to my wife. Boy, they always got to have big ones, don't they? Big churches. And not saying anything to slander them, but I see many poor, and to them, that's God's blessings to them. They believe God's blessing them. And they believe because of buildings. And I tell you, I look and I see the humble building we got, and I know that this building, many of you that were here long before I was and was there, were when the group gathered in the community building, I hear you say, yes, this building was a blessing from God. And I believe that, friends, but listen, that's not the greatest blessing God has given us. Sure, it's great to be able to come to this church. And could have God blessed us with even a better building, a better church? Sure, he could have. But that wasn't the main focus or the importance that God was trying to get to. God gave, you know, this is a wonderful place for us to come. And it's old, and it needs work, and there's upkeep that has to be done on it. But God gave it to us. But what God has given to us more is the revelation of his word in this last day. While there's others that are going on, and perhaps they're even looking for the rapture. Perhaps they're even looking for the coming of a tribulation period. Perhaps they're looking for a catching away. But at the same time, that's not where their focus is really at. Their focus is on their everyday life. Their focus is on what brings them tomorrow. How can they get more members into the church? I wouldn't mind having more members, but I don't want them for the sake of just filling up pews. But, you know, I was talking to my wife yesterday, mentioned something about something that had took place in the mission field when I was out one time in Honduras. And it just hit my heart. I said, I need to go to Honduras. I need to go. Brother Melchizedek, pastor down there in Tegucigalpa, has been inviting me. There's many pastors I know down in that country. And it's been quite a few years since I went. And then I told my wife, I said, you know, I don't go to the mission fields as much as what I would like to. I'd like to go a lot more, make it kind of a regular type of thing. Not to be away from you, but there's just something in my heart for those brothers and sisters. And so if God would feel led to fill up a few more pews so that it would provide finances for me to go to a mission field, well, so be it. You know, there's like one brother said one time, Brother Ram said, there's some people just there to help keep the lights on. Now, I don't believe we've got any of those. I sure hope not. They're just here to help us keep the lights on. And I believe that we've got some real believers here. And I believe that there's been many that were blessed in this assembly. We've had many of people that have attended here and were members here, if we can use that phrase, and that attended regularly here. And God blessed them, and God did things for them. And yet, some have moved on back out to the world. Some have backslid to where they stay home and think they're all right. But there's the core of this group that has returned. As I was speaking to the prophet, there were many from all the different organizations, but there's only one that actually has followed this message. And who was that? The bride. The bride. She's the one that has the revelation of the word of this hour. She's the one that returns to worship God for opening her eyes and giving her the revelation of the word. And I'll tell you this, if you're sitting here this morning and you hear my voice talking about the bride and the revelation of this message, and you don't have the revelation of it, friends, you need to get before God and say, God, open my eyes, because you don't need to follow this just because mom and dad follows it. You don't need to follow this just because uncle or aunt or brother or sister follows it. You need to follow it because God's opened your eyes and revealed to you that in this last day, when the darkness was beginning to fill this age, that God did send forth the prophet. And that prophet was spoke of in this Bible. And it said in Revelations 10, said, when he begins to sound his voice, the mysteries of God will be finished. There are mysteries that's been revealed. That, you know, I'll tell you this. A lot of the folks that don't understand predestination, if they could get a revelation of serpent seed, it would open their eyes to predestination. Sure would. You know what the problem, those that don't believe in predestination, the problem they have is thinking that God would come down and take it out of your hands and say, I want this one, but I don't want that one. But that's not where predestination is. Predestination to you on a free moral agency, everyone has their choice. But God being God and knowing all things knows what everyone will choose. And therefore knowing what you will choose, then he can predestinate you. Amen. And what does that word mean? It means predetermining your destiny. One is referred to so many times as having, when it talks about having the robe and those that got in and they didn't have the robe and they were cast out. And then we hear the prophet and different preachers refer to it as having a ticket in your hand, possessing a ticket. For what? For the catching away, for the ride out of here. And then all that have, when you go down to the airport, friends, look, not everybody can get on that plane. If that plane's going to Cleveland, Ohio, not everybody can get on it. The only ones that can get on it is the ones that have a ticket in their hand that says, Destination, Cleveland, Ohio. Friends, but I'll tell you, we got a ticket this morning. And on that ticket, it doesn't say Cleveland, Ohio or Nashville, Tennessee. It says glory. Hallelujah. It says glory. Destination glory. Destination heaven. Hallelujah. Why is that? Because God chose to send his word. And friends, you chose him. You chose to hear that word. You chose to believe that word. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't let the devil pull nothing on you. It's time, friends, we get beyond. I know I've been there when the devil will tell me, no, you ain't one of them. I've been there when all of a sudden somebody's with me and I can't find them. And that thought will hit my head. You ain't going to find them because they went to rapture and you got left. You ever had that thought? God bless you if you haven't. Satan fights you in some way or other. Friends, it's time that we've got beyond that. Why? This is a time when God's bringing an assurance and an identification to his people. Accept the identification. That's what we preached on last Sunday. Being identified by how you fit in the scripture. Like I said last Sunday, there's some that's going to persecute. That means there's got to be some that are persecuted. I want to be counted among those that are persecuted rather than those that are persecuting. He said, leap for joy in that day. Why? Because it shows that who you are of. He says, for likewise did they to the prophets. Showed an idea. It's time that we start to recognize our identification. Why? Because we didn't go away like the other nine. We have come. We returned to God. You might have stained my tape. You backslid. You got away. Or you failed. Or you did this. But where are you sitting this morning? And why are you sitting here? Because you turned back to worship Him. You turned back to believe His word. Heard people say, and I've said it myself, they actually said, but they never questioned this message, whether it was right or wrong. Why? They knew in their heart it was right. And they turned back to believe it. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Just go back a little bit into chapter 4. And there was one. Verse 24 of chapter 4. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were there in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, indignation, hallelujah, and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he passed through the midst of them and went his way. Why'd they get angry? Here he is in the synagogue of Israel. And he looks at him and he says, in the days of your prophet, Elijah, hallelujah, there were many widows in Israel. But God never sent, but God never sent him, except to a Gentile widow. Yeah. Oh my. And he told him, and in the days of your prophet, Elisha said, there were many lepers in Israel, but God never healed one of them. He only healed one, and that was a Syrian. No wonder they got angry at him. What was he telling them? He was telling them, look, it was a sign. You're going to miss the word. When it comes, you're not going to take it. And you know what? There's coming a time, there's a word coming that's not to you. God's going to send it. And word, listen, friends, this was a testimony of you and I today. Because in the scriptures, the Jews began to not accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the prophet said, I now turn to the Gentiles. A Jewish prophet. A Jewish apostle. And he says, I now turn to the Gentiles.
Look at Peter. Peter was there and he was praying and God gave him a vision. And he saw spread before him this food that was, according to the Jewish law, was unclean. And he says, arise. The voice said, arise, Peter, and eat. And he said, no, there's not been any unclean thing touch my lips. I'm going to tell you something, friends. There are things that different religions and things have that they end up taking pride. Pride overcomes them. Why? Because they end up taking pride. Well, I've never done that. No. I've never cut my hair. I've always wore dresses. That don't mean nothing. What's on your heart? What's in the heart? Tell you this, you say, I still struggle. All you need is to take a drink from this water. Take a drink from this water, and you'll never thirst again. Why is it that people, knowing this message, they have sometimes who have trouble with certain things. And say, well, I know I still do this or I still do that. It's because you're trying to satisfy a thirst you got with something else. But come to this water. This water will satisfy that thirst. Friends, you're trying, many times, we're living an age of anxiety. We live in an age where there's so many people that suffer from anxiety. But I'll tell you what, the answer to that is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Sometimes we get anxiety over family and things like that. I'll tell you, the answer isn't worry. The answer isn't let me see what I can do to fix this. I'll tell you something. I'm the kind of individual that when it comes to things around me and my life, my family and that, I like to know that when situations come my way that I got a little bit of control over it. That's me. Yeah. I like to be able to look at situations and say, okay, this is what I got to do right here, and it'll fix it. But situations come my way that leaves me without any control. Situations come my way, and there's things I can't fix. You know why? Why it comes? Because God brings it there to say, you can't fix it. Turn it over to me. I'm the answer. I'm the one that will take care of this. Many times you look and you say, it'll take a miracle to get us out of this situation. Well, I still believe in miracles. Hallelujah. I don't believe the only miracles there are is limbs growing back out or blind eyes seeing. I believe there's miracles that deal with the soul. I believe you can look and say, well, I don't know if this person will ever come. Well, I'll tell you what, I believe in miracles. Hallelujah. Many times the holdup is they're waiting to see what you're doing with what you got. How much do you believe it? How sincere are you about it? Someone told me once that a husband said to them, well, my wife ain't going to see us. She ain't going to go. I don't want to go without her. Well, it shows just how much you believe it. But I'll tell you something, friends. You let your loved one, you let your spouse see. I believe it so much. I know I'm going. I want you to go. But unless you get in this, I'm going without you. I'll go by myself. You say, oh, I don't know if I can do that. Friends, listen, you need to show your loved ones just how much you can believe this. Show them how real this is. Sure, there's been all kinds of discouraging things that have come. But I'll tell you what, many times they hear about them discouraging things from your mouth. Sometimes they wouldn't even know about it if you didn't tell them. I tell you, I've come to realize more and more. The prophet said, what you think will affect even your grandchildren. What you say in front of them. What you do in front of them. Yeah. Imagine a generation now that we're living in to where there has been examples of, well, I don't like what that preacher said there, so I'm going to quit this church. We're going to go somewhere else. I don't like him. Huh? How many examples have been of that out there? And how many generations has it affected? How many generations of their family has it affected? Huh? Why? Because they haven't seen a reality. They haven't seen them have something that they believe with all their heart. I don't care if they're claiming to be message believers. If you're going to leave every time you think your fur got rubbed the wrong way, then you ain't no different than the non-message believers that go from church to church. Like, I know this ain't a place to joke, and I'm not mean this as a joke, but Brother Horner told me this one time, I'll blame it on him, about this man who was stranded on a deserted island and said, somebody showed up and there was three huts there, and he said, you've been here a long time. Said, what's these huts? Said, well, this one right here is where I live. He said, what's this one over here? He said, that's where I go to church at. He said, what's this third one over here? He said, that's where I used to go. That's where I used to go to church. What is it, friends? Look how ridiculous that is. I'll tell you what, we need to have come to a point here to where we realize, look, friends, this ain't Jerry Browning trying to shape out a church according to his way. This ain't Jerry Browning trying to do something according to his idea. We need to come to realize God has spoke through us in a voice not to lift up the man, but to point us at Jesus Christ. I told Brother Phil one thing. I said, if God sends me, then I believe God's sending me there to lead you into the rapture. Friends, that's what since God vindicated to me, he sent me, that's the very thing I've strove for, is to get you ready to go in the rapture. Sure, sometimes your fur got rubbed wrong. Hallelujah. Brother Ram said, but are you a Pentecostal cat? Rub a cat's fur the wrong way and whoo, they have problems. Hallelujah. A sheep don't care which way. It has to do with how the wool grows. Praise be to God. But sometimes, friends, you come in and yeah, the Holy Spirit has sheared you. Yeah. And as one brother says, burnt your hide. That isn't what I come to the pulpit for. Sometimes God does come and he brings correction, but that ain't what I come up here for. I don't come up here thinking, well, I'm going up there to correct them people today. I'm going up there, I'm going to just tell them such and such and really put them in their place. No, friends, when I come here, I'm praying, God, give me something that'll uplift the people. Give me something that'll encourage them. Give me something that'll shake them so they'll realize who they are. I know we haven't realized just exactly who we are because the prophet said when this bride recognizes who she is, nothing will stand before her. But I believe we're coming to that. I believe that's what the word and the voice is speaking to us, to realize who we are. Many were there of widows in Israel.
But the prophet was only sent to one.
Many churches are there in the land of the United States, but there's only one group
this word's been sent to, and that's the bride.
Hallelujah. There we sat at one time in the white leprosy of our sins. We
that's what leprosy represents, you know that. Represents sin. There we sat one time.
But brother and sister, God came, and her eyes, death was blind to our eyes, and her eyes were open, and we came underneath that blood that cleansed us from all the leprosy of sin. Then, friends, he sanctified us, cleansed us out.
And then we were filled with Zoe, his own life.
And the things that we once had desire for, we don't desire for them. I want you to know there is a difference between a desire and an urge. There is a difference between your desire and your urges. God looks at the desire of your heart. How many times have I preached that and told you that? He looks at the desire of your heart. But this old flesh can have urges. Huh? Sure can. This old flesh and that memory that you have, it ain't forgot some of the things you used to do. It ain't forgot how they felt. It ain't forgot how they tasted. And sometimes there'll be an urge to come on this flesh, and it'll be an urge for something like that, and then the devil comes and says, look at what you want. Well, I thought you had the Holy Ghost. That's an urge of the flesh. But the desire, that ain't the desire of the heart. And the desire of the heart is right. Friends, I'll tell you this. If that desire is right, you say, what if I give in to that urge? Will you backslid? Does that mean you're lost? No. Needs you to get back where you're supposed to be. Means you need to learn. We need to learn from our mistakes. You need to learn. Sometimes we want to bury it. Of course we're ashamed of it. Don't want nobody to know about when we fail or made a mistake or anything. Sure. You want to bury it and say, I don't want to think about it no more. Out of mind. Maybe it really ain't our mistake. Maybe it's a mistake of a loved one. And we want to hide it because of our pride. Hallelujah. That's where you need to recognize this morning, friends. Listen. Let the word have its way. Let the word have its way in the lives of your family and loved ones. Let the word do it. You can't do it. What difference does it make whether you're embarrassed in this life or not? I'd rather be embarrassed in this life than stand before the white throne judgment and be embarrassed when my entire life is played before me like a video. I'd rather be embarrassed today than embarrassed over there. Hallelujah. Oh, surely, Brother Jerry, I know you. You don't struggle with that. I'm human just like you are. But I'll tell you what, I came to a time where God said, oh boy, you're going to learn to swallow that pride. Because I'm going to knock you down so far, you're going to think you have to look up just to see the surface of the earth. He'll cure you. He'll humble you. Huh? Hallelujah. Amen. Friends, you say, why do you have to humble you that way? Because I was just that hard-headed. Yeah, I'm not bragging on it. What I'm trying to tell you is God will do whatever he has to do. And then we ought to be able to, in return, worship him and thank him for doing it. God brings correction and we get corrected. We ought to say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank God I'm not a bastard who can't take correction. You know what the word says? Hallelujah. I'm just quoting to you the word. Thank God. Thank God that he even sends correction my way. God sends correction for everyone, but not everyone will take it. And there's some that get one shot at it. And they don't take it, and God says, well, that's your choice. That's your choice. And you look and you say, but God's given me chance after chance after chance. Amen. Somebody told me, said, I don't understand it. I said, who cares whether you understand it? Just take it and believe it. Don't sit around and ask God why. Just say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, in your own life, there's been some people you've crossed paths with, and they got an opportunity with you, and they turned around and betrayed you and done something awful to you, and you said, that's it. Don't never want nothing to do with that individual for the rest of my life. And there's been others that's walked on you, stomped on you, and everything else, and you still keep giving them a chance. And the majority of them's in your own family. Explain it to me. Satan's no different than God. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Oh my. Brother Branham, talking about the scripture we just read, he said, no prophet, no time, this is in the manifestation of thy resurrection, said, no prophet, and no time any man ever possessed the power to do it within himself, just as God would reveal it. Jesus said there was many lepers in the days of Naaman, but only one was sent to him. Just one leper was healed in the days of Elijah, one leper, because God sent him there. Elijah knew on Mount Carmel when he laid the sacrifice that I did all at your will, at your word, taking God at his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take God at his word. Friends, look, you're identified with that one of the many. There was many in this state. There are many in this state that are blind. But your eyes have been opened. Hallelujah. The manifestation of the Antichrist has been revealed to you. The mark of the beast has been revealed to you. It's like one brother said, it's not a barcode on a can of beans. It's receiving the doctrine of that Antichrist. A great figure in the world today made a statement similar to this. Said, how do you say it, Brother Phil? All major religions are a channel to the same God, are a different channel to the same God. All these different religions, you all got a channel to the same God. What is it? Mama,
call their daughters home. Come and join that World Council of Churches. Come on back home. You've been gone a long time. But look, we've changed. Mama has changed. We're changing our ideas and looking on our outlook on some things. So that you don't feel like, well, you ain't remembering the times when we persecuted you. Well, you ain't remembering the times when we burned you at the stake. You forget about all that. Mama has changed. Come on back home. Mama's all full of love now. And they're going to do it. They're going to do it. But there's one that has received the mark of God, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the seal of God. Hallelujah. Amen. There's one. Hallelujah. This is in the children of Israel. Brother Ram spoke in 47. Said, now, I want you to notice, people knew there was a power in that prophet. Till he cursed anything, it was cursed. If he blessed anything, it was blessed. You Bible readers, read the Bible. Is that true according to Scripture? Now, if we just had time to read it, we would. But such said, I cannot, God puts in my mouth. Is that right? Now, I cannot say, no prophet, no man, no healer, nobody. You ask too much of a prophet. I don't know. I tell you what, that was in 1947, but I can tell you now, in 2016, there's a people that are asking too much of a prophet. They're asking for a prophet to come and put them in the right condition and shape they need to be in to go in a rapture. God already sent that. He already sent his word. And that prophet said, everything you have need of, including the rapture, is in you when you receive eternal life. That's what they need to do, is get born again. They're putting too much on a prophet. Many times God doesn't even reveal some things to his servants. That's what he said. Read it this morning when I was looking up some things about Naaman and about the widow and that. Brother Ram said, talking about Elijah, he said, sometimes God don't show his servant everything. He said there could have been many lepers that come to Elisha to be healed and said, pray for me. And he said, Elisha might have said, well, okay, I'll pray for you, but they weren't healed. He said, because there was only one healed in all the days of Elisha. And that was Naaman. Oh. Friends, I tell you, there are so many places in the Bible that God has woven there and hid where you can see God, even through the genealogy of Christ, used examples to point to this end time bride. Yes, sir. Bathsheba, Rahab, Ruth, pointing to this end time bride. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You ask too much of a prophet. He said, certainly you do. He said, there is many people. Now here, when you read this, he uses Elisha. But it's a reference to the scripture of Luke 4:25, which he's actually talking about Elijah. And he said, there are many people that come to Elisha to get cured of the leprosy. The Bible said there was Naaman. Is that true? Wait a minute. No, he's referring right. I'm sorry, that was me, my error. He said there are many people come to Elisha to get cured of their leprosy. The Bible said there was many lepers in the days of Elisha.
but only one of them was cured, and that was Naaman. Is that true? Certainly. How many more do you think came? There probably hundreds of lepers came because there was many of them in the days of Elisha. But only one of them, but only one of them God sent, and only one of them God recorded in the Bible. Go look. Hallelujah. Brother Branham, as I was reading, come across Brother Branham talking about the lepers that sat in the gate. Sat in the gate of Syria. Samaria. Let's see. He said when in Samaria, when it was besieged by the Syrians, he said there was these lepers that were talking about, you remember in the scripture, lepers that sat in the gate, and they said, and there was such a famine in the city because it had been besieged. They said they was eating just about anything they could eat. And the leper said, if we sit here, we're going to die. If we go into the city, we're going to die. Said, we're going to die anyhow, so we might as well try to go down to our enemies, got food, and see whether or not they'll save us or not. Because we're going to die. Anything else we do, we're going to die. And they went down to the Syrians, and the Syrians fed them, and it not only did them, but it ended up, it saved the whole city. Brother Ben referred to that. He said, this is in the message of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He also refers to it as the eagle stirreth her nest. And he says, you're them lepers today. You're like them. You're sitting in the gate. He said, you're afflicted with something. It doesn't matter what you're afflicted with. He said, if you're crippled, I can say to you this morning, if you're filled with anxiety, whatever it is that Satan has beset you with. And he said, but you don't have to go down to the camp of the enemy. He said, you got an invitation to come to the house of God. And said, if you'll come and you'll believe. Amen. And he said, you believe and confess it. And that makes it an act of faith. You've got to believe. Friends, listen. It don't matter how many times I lay my hands on you. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. You don't have to come up here for me to pray for you to get this. I'm not telling you not to. I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but I'm saying this. Here's what you need to do is believe. If you believe, you'll go out of here different. If you believe, you'll notice the difference in your life. As you wake up and go about your life this coming week, there'll be a difference. And I don't care how much of a difference it is. You say, well, it isn't a whole lot. Let it grow. It's just a seed we're planting. Let your faith grow. Listen, I want to read this to you. As the eagles stir their nests, as we're closing, you can come on up to the instruments, please. He's referring to the lepers at the gate again. They said, why do we lay here until we die? He said, how many knows the story? And he goes on talking about it and telling the story. And then he comes down, he says, and there's only one way you can lose. He's referring to this story about the lepers. He said, there's only one way you can lose. That's to sit still and don't act on it. If them lepers would have just sat there and not acted on what they'd said, they'd have died. He said, how many says that's true? Amen. Is there one thing God can't do? He said, yes, there's one thing God cannot do. Did you ever know that? He can't fail. That's the one thing he can't do. He cannot fail. He has to win every time.
I tell you, when I read that this morning, it just said, he has to win every time.
Look, friends, sometimes we'll fall. Sometimes we'll lose. But if you look to him, he don't never lose. I like that. He said, you just forgive me. I just looked at that, and I was looking at it actually in a human sort of way too, and said, he has to win every time. And I thought about, you know, how you get to, we've got together sometimes, maybe play a game or play volleyball or something like that, and you got individuals, and they got to win every time, boy, and they... And I tell you what, I got to think about that this morning. And I just got beside myself thinking about it. And I thought, look right there. He says, he cannot lose. He has to win every time. God never goes into it haphazardly or just to have fun. Come on now. God don't ever approach anything. Hallelujah! I don't care what you're going through in your life. I don't care what situation you're facing. I don't care how the enemy has attacked you. God has to win every time. Take that. Believe his word. You say, why ain't nothing happened yet? God's been waiting on you to believe. Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, that ought to give every one of you this morning the courage. That ought to give every one of you. Hallelujah, say, I believe he has to win every time. He don't never approach nothing just haphazardly. He don't never look at any situation and say, well, you know, I just, whatever. God don't do that. He takes every situation you're going through, and it's important to him that he wins. See, the devil has really come against me. There's an onslaught, there's an attack, and I don't know if I can see a way out of the light of day. I told you earlier, I believe in miracles. And God has to win every time. The devil tries to bring you doubt about something that's going on, and you say, God has to win every time. Just tell yourself that. Say, how many times did I got to tell myself that till you believe it? Like John Ryan, by his stripes I'm healed. Instead of giving out the newspaper, say, extra, extra, read all about it. By his stripes I'm healed. It was a prophet that told him, you know what it was, John Ryan, come up and be prayed for, he was blind. The prophet prayed for him and sent him on his way. John Ryan come back up into the line again, come back up on the platform. He said, I just prayed for you. He said, yeah, but I can't see yet. And he said, I realized something. He said, I realized that. He gave him something. I said, now you go forth and just keep confessing, by his stripes I'm healed. And so John Ryan went forth and he kept confessing that. By his stripes, I'm healed. Give out the newspaper. Read all about it. By his stripes, I'm healed. And said he went down to the barber shop, got in the barber's chair, and the barber went to kind of make fun of him a little bit, you know. And there he was, said he had the apron thing on around him and that cape, you know, and had it there and getting ready to shave him, you know. And he said, hey, I thought you said you got prayed for. He said, I did. He said, but how come you can't see yet? And he said, by his stripes I'm healed. And about that time his sight came. Got up out of that barber chair and jumped. Running down the street, the barber running after him. Got that cape fly behind him and said, hallelujah, I can see, I can see. He kept confessing it till one day he believed it. He wasn't waiting on God to get there. God was waiting on him to get there. We ain't waiting on, you say, I'm waiting on God. God's waiting on you. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you something, friends. We live in a time where everything is instant and fast. I know I shouldn't go, but like I read one time said, I got a problem with my diet. Said every time I'm supposed to say, give me a salad, I say, give me a double quarter pounder. Went down to McDonald's close by the house. You know, there's people getting in line and ordering their food and going to stand off the side to get the food ready. You know what they was doing? They was complaining because they wasn't getting it fast enough. Well, I'll tell you what. Look, it's just the way it is. We live in an age of impatience. Want everything instant. Want it right now. Sometimes we get guilty of going in looking for something to fix for the family that can be real quick. I shouldn't have said guilty. I'm just saying sometimes maybe we do that. Why? That's the kind of age we live in. And friends, there's a lot of times we want God. Now you just do it instantly, right now. God don't do things on your timetable or my timetable. God does them on his. And I'll tell you this, friends. Every trial that God has ever allowed to come my way and for me to go through it, every one of them has ended up doing something good for me. It might have brought me a lot of heartache and everything else, but boy, when it comes to molding character, it sure did a lot. Hallelujah. I can tell you this, friends. Back in, when was it, 2005, I believe it was, when I first really started having real bad back trouble. I can tell you, friends, I stand before you, I ain't the same man now that I was then. God has done such a work in my life, things he's opened my eyes up to, things that he's caused to be molded in me. What I couldn't do for myself, laying flat on my back, couldn't even, I tried to get up and fall on the floor. Been moving around. My wife said, why are you moving around? I said, I'm trying to get away from this pain. Say, you know, and there'd be a voice with him say, you know, God could have just healed you. You'd never had to went through that. I tell you what, friends, from where I stand now, if God says, I'm going to take you back there and let you make a choice again, I'd say, God, just do it the same way. Just do it the same way. Because I want this outcome. Hallelujah. Let God do it his way. It'll bring about something in your life. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what. You'll end up drawing closer to God. I'll tell you what. I'm going through something right now that I have prayed more than I think over this than I ever have in my life over anything. I just, every hour or so throughout the day, whatever I'm doing, I stop and I start praying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you what, he has to win every time. Amen. Amen. You say, thank you, Lord. Amen. Remember that, Brother Nathaniel, if you'll come, brother. Remember that throughout this week. Amen. Only one thing he can't do, and that's fail. He has to win every time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. Amen.
Everyone stand. Think about his love.
Think about his love. Thank you. to thank.